પરમાત્મને. ઓમ નમો પૃષાય મહાત્મને. હે અદ્ભુત સિંહ માયા, અમને પરમાત્મને. ઓમ નમો ભગવતે તુભ્યા, પુરુષાય મહાત્મને. માયા બ્રહ્મને પરમાત્મને. ઓમ નમો ભગવતે તુભ્યામ, પુરુષાય મહાત્મને. હરે અદ્ભુત માયા, બ્રહ્મને પરમાત્મને. ઓમ નમો ભગવતે તુભ્યામ. સુપ્રીમ પર્સનાલિટી ઓફ ગોડેડ, નમઃ. આઈ ઓફર માય રિસ્પેક્ટફુલ ઓબેસન્સીસ ભગવતે ઓન ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ પર્સન, તુભ્યમ ઓન ટુ યુ, પુરુષાય ઓન ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ પર્સન, મહાત્મને ઓન ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ સોલ, હરે અન્ટુ ધ લોર્ડ હુ વેન્ક્વિશેસ ઓલ ધ મિઝરીઝ ઓફ ડિવોટીઝ. અદ્ભુત સિંહાય, અન્ટુ યોર વન્ડરફુલ લાયન લાઈક ફોર્મ ઓફ નરસિંહદેવ, બ્રહ્મને અન્ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ બ્રહ્મ, પરમાત્મને અન્ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ સોલ. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj has explained that a devotee can achieve the platform of Bhagavat Tattva, being as good as the Supreme Person, but this does not mean that the devotee loses his position as a servant. A pure servant of the Lord, although as opulent as the Lord, is still meant to offer respectful obeisances to the Lord in service. Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in pacifying the Lord, and therefore he did not consider himself equal to the Lord. He defined his position as a servant and offer respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna. So today on the occasion of appearance day of Lord Narasingadev, let us go back to the discussion which happened 5,000 years before between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. In that discussion, Yudhishthir Maharaj had asked several questions to Narad Muni. And in his replies, Narad Muni had narrated this pastime of appearance of Lord Narasingadev, killing Hiranyakashipu and protecting Prahlad Maharaj. When Lord Varadev, he killed Hiranyaksha, and this news reached Hiranyakashipu, who was the brother of Hiranyaksha, he got very angry. Hiranyakashipu at that time thought that generally Vishnu is impartial. He is samadarshina, equal to everybody, demigods as well as demons. But now Vishnu had become partial. He has taken the side of demigods. And with the help of demigods, he has killed my brother. So he at that time decided that he will kill Vishnu. He will cut the throat of Vishnu and use that blood to pacify the soul of Hiranyakashipu. So with such a demonic mentality, with such a demonic desire, he called a meeting of all the demon leaders who were under him. And he instructed them that the plan will be that he personally will go to kill Vishnu, and all the leaders of demons, they should spread out on the earth planet and disturb all the Vedic ritualistic activities happening there. Disturb the yajnas, disturb the temples, kill the brahmanas, the cows, the fields, the trees, burn down the residential quarters of various citizens. So in this way, when the people stop performing religious activities, then the demigods will become weak. Because demigods get the share of religious activities, share of oblations. So the demigods will become weak by your performance of such activities, and I will attack Vishnu. So from both the sides we will attack demigods. His actual enmity was with demigods. But because he felt that Vishnu supported demigods and killed my brother, so he became enemy of Vishnu. So in this way, all the demonic leaders, they went on the planet Earth and they disturbed the various activities happening there. Meanwhile, in the family of Hiranyakashipu, his mother, his new face, Hiranyaksha's wife, his sister-in-law, and all were very morose after losing Hiranyaksha. So at that time, Hiranyakashipu, being very expert in Vedic knowledge, he tried to console them by explaining them the difference between the body and the soul, as if he is narrating the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, by telling them that how the soul changes body, and in every life few souls come together and they become a family, and there is development of affection, natural affection, and one should not lament over the loss of his family member, because this happens every life. And like that he went and born and on. So we see this kind of behavior even in Kamsa and Ravana, who had the understanding of soul as different from the body. So one thing is clear, that in the Vedic times, everybody had this understanding. Forget the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, even the demons who were educated in various levels of sinful activities, politics and diplomacy, even these demons, they had the understanding of difference between body and soul. So with respect to that education, present civilization is worst, because present education in school and colleges does not emphasize this part. In fact, there is more and more emphasis on the pleasure of the body, the work to be done for the welfare of the body and the bodily relations. So that shows this is worse, because those children who are going to these schools and colleges, they are misled, because they consider the body to be all in all. The development of the body and the byproducts of the body to be all in all. Prabhupada rightly calls these schools and colleges as slaughterhouses, because they actually slaughter the innocent children. They slaughter their spiritual life. For more than 25 years, a person has to study to get a degree. And once he gets a degree, he has to again search for a job. And as education is increasing, unemployment is increasing. And as unemployment is increasing, crime rate is increasing. So we require more jails and police officers. So the situation is like that. So once somebody gets a degree, he has to work hard to find a job, get settled in the job. And after job, he has to marry. And after marriage, there is such a big entanglement. Where is the time for spiritual education? There is no time. So Hiranyakashipu, after very nicely explaining to his relatives and pacifying them, he personally left on his mission of killing Lord Vishnu. For that he thought that I should be more powerful, because he saw how Hiranyaksha, even though he was so powerful, but Vishnu tricked and killed him in the form of a boar. So Vishnu may come and kill Hiranyakashipu also in any form, by any tricks, by some cheating. So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to be most powerful. And he felt that the most powerful person in this universe is Lord Brahma. Unrivaled, unparalleled soul competitor. Nobody can stand in competition to Lord Brahma. He is very powerful. He creates the whole in varieties of this universe, inside this universe. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. So for that purpose, he went on Mandara mountain and performed very severe austerities for thousands of years. The posture he adopted was he stood on his toes, only two toes, with his hands raised up. And it is said that this is a very difficult posture. One cannot stand long on such posture. One cannot stand long on two toes with hands up. So with such a difficult posture, Hiranyakashipu was standing for thousands of years. Nowadays also people work very hard going in local trains and they stand in this posture only. There is no space, so they have to stand on their toes and they have to catch something, so they raise their hands. And in fact, local train is more difficult because somebody is pushing you also. Hiranyakashipu, nobody was pushing him. So people are forced to do tapasya for earning their daily bread, which in this creation is supposed to be available very easily. Krishna being the maintainer of all living entities, one doesn't require to work hard. This foolishness. But present society has progressed in such a way that the animals in our house, lizards, cockroaches, get their food without going outside the house. But we in our house don't get our food. We have to go outside our house and work so hard. So Hiranyakashipu adopted this severe tapasya, severe penance, with the ambition to become as powerful as Lord Brahma. During this period, so many ants and worms, they started climbing on Hiranyakashipu's body and started eating away the flesh, drinking the blood, eating the fat. Finally, only bones remained. And the whole bones were not visible. They were all covered by ant hill, worms, bamboo sticks, leaves, plants, and all this. Hiranyakashipu managed to keep the soul inside the bones, alive. And the result of his penance was such that from his hairs, from the head, light emanated, which was so hot that the upper planets were getting scorching heat. The demigods were troubled by that light, by that fire. So much so that the demigods left their planets and they went higher to Brahmaloka. These demigods, headed by Indra, they approached Lord Brahma, offered their obeisances and gave this complaint. He said, "My dear Lord Brahma, you see this Hiranyakashipu is performing so severe penances that as a result the whole world is becoming hot and we are not able to stay in our planets." The intentions of Hiranyakashipu are such that after successfully doing his penances, he wants to get a benediction to become as powerful as Lord Brahma. And my dear Lord, we are sure that if Hiranyakashipu gets these benedictions, then he will become a big terrorist, big oppressor. He will disturb the Brahmanical culture of protecting cows and Brahmanas. He will disturb the very rules of this material world, of this universe. will disturb all the natural laws. So my dear Lord, do something. So the demigods had already predicted that if Hiranyakashipu gets the benedictions, then he will become a very big oppressor. In fact, they were indirectly telling Lord Brahma, don't give him benedictions. Because after Lord Brahma gives him benedictions, the first target of Hiranyakashipu's would be the demigods. Because Hiranyakashipu will disturb the demigods, will try to kill them, will attack them. But we see how in the further story that Lord Brahma was actually helpless. He had to give benedictions. So when Lord Brahma heard all this, he came down on his swan carrier with Daksha, Bhrigu Muni and all the other sages. At first all of this cannot identify where is Hiranyakashipu, because his body was completely covered, whatever was existing. Just because there was some light emanating from a particular location, Lord Brahma could identify this is Hiranyakashipu. In fact, Lord Brahma was very impressed. He was very pleased with the severe penances of Hiranyakashipu. Lord Brahma told that, my dear Hiranyakashipu, the penances which you have done are most difficult to do. Nobody in the past, including Bhrigu Muni, has done this. And nobody in the future will be able to do this. Saying this, Lord Brahma revived Hiranyakashipu's body by sprinkling some spiritual water from his pot, Kamandalu. Just by the touch of that spiritual waters, Hiranyakashipu regained his youthful body, which was now more powerful, more beautiful, more handsome, full vigor, full strength. So and as soon as he saw Lord Brahma, he paid his full dandavat pranams, full flat obeisances. And he started praising and praying to Lord Brahma just as he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, flattering him. Considering the demigod as Supreme Personality of Godhead is wrong. Considering any other person as Supreme Person is offensive actually. Is offensive to that person and offensive to Krishna himself. Flattery is an insult. Calling a 10 rupee note a 100 rupee note is an insult to 10 rupee also, an insult to 100 rupee also. But Hiranyakashipu, he started offering so many beautiful prayers to Lord Brahma, praising him as the eternal creator, supreme proprietor, supreme master, Janmadi Asya Yatah, source of everything, source of the material modes and all this. And he asked the benediction from Lord Brahma to be immortal. That means never have death. Lord Brahma said, I cannot provide you this benediction because everybody who has taken birth has to die. Even my life will end. So you ask for something else. So Hiranyakashipu wanted immortality, nothing less. So he asked the same thing in a different way. He said, my dear Lord, then let it happen, let it be that I will not be killed by either any animal or any living entity created by you. Hiranyakashipu was actually afraid of animals because his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by an animal. He was afraid that his Vishnu will not come directly. But directly I will identify him and be ready to fight. In front of me he will not fight, but he may come like an animal. Just like he killed my brother who was not ready, he did that. So let me not be killed by any living entity created by you, any human or animal. Let me not be killed by inside the house or outside the house. Let me not be killed in day and night. Let me not die up nor down, nor by any weapons, nor by any tricks, nor by any mantras. Let me be free from disease and old age. Let me have all the mystic powers for eternal duration. And so many benedictions he asked Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said that these benedictions are very, very rare to achieve. And your penance is also very, very rare to perform. So I offer you this. Tathastu. So let it be. And in this way, Hiranyakashipu received so powerful benedictions. Now if this pastime as a story is narrated till here to any fiction writer in this world or any highly intelligent creative personality, and if you request him to continue and complete the story in such a way that Hiranyakashipu is killed, he will not be able to. No great thinker and writer in this world can come out with a character called Hiranyakashipu and manage to kill Hiranyakashipu even in the story. This shows that Lord Narasimhadev cannot be imagined by any jiva. Nobody can imagine and come out with a character called Lord Narasimhadev. Not only that, this proves that Krishna is beyond imagination. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's beautiful form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's wonderful name, these are not accessible to our senses. These are not accessible to our mind. These are not accessible to our intelligence and logic. He is beyond imagination. Nobody can imagine and come to the conclusion that Krishna is blackish blue in color. Or you come to the conclusion about Krishna's qualities. So in our efforts to understand Krishna, we are not supposed to imagine or use our mental speculation. We are supposed to receive this knowledge from disciplic succession, from the parampara, from Sukadeva Goswami or representatives of Sukadeva Goswami. He is beyond imagination. So Hiranyakashipu, after he received all these benedictions, he became so powerful. He took all his demonic army and attacked all the rulers of various planets. The Rakshasas, the Danavas, the Nagas, the Shvediya Kshatriyas, and every single ruler he defeated. Nobody could stand in front of Hiranyakashipu. And finally he conquered Indra. Then Hiranyakashipu made Indra's palace as his headquarters. He went and stayed there. That palace was not ordinary. That heavenly planet is not ordinary, made up of gold and pearls and diamonds, and so many maidservants and so many apsaras, beautiful women. And Hiranyakashipu became the sole ruler of the whole world. All the great demigods, they became servants of Hiranyakashipu. The Gandharvas, the heavenly musicians, where they became Hiranyakashipu's servants who would carry his palki, palanquin, wherever he would go. Indra, Chandra, Agni, they became his servants standing in front of his throne, waiting, what is my order, sir? Tell me what to do. Other demigods, some demigods became his guards, some demigods became his doorkeepers. And he used to chastise and scold and punish these demigods for no reason. Hiranyakashipu was so envious of this demigod. He used to have so much hate for this demigod. He used to disturb them for no reason. And not only that, out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, all over the world, all the natural sources of natural products, they were giving more than they could give. The cows were giving more milk. The earth was giving more vegetables, fruits. The trees were giving more flowers. The seasons were more beautiful. It became very, very nice for Hiranyakashipu's senses. Hiranyakashipu was just enjoying life. 24 hours he was intoxicated. 24 hours his eyes will roll in intoxication and his body will smell of that alcohol or that wine. And it is said that the whole world used to tremble when Hiranyakashipu was moving his eyebrows. He changed the law of the nature. Pious and impious, all living entities will come to heavenly planets, no problem. It doesn't matter. And if he doesn't like somebody, they will go to Narkaloka. Even if they have not done sinful activities. If he wants, the sun will rise. If he wants, the sun will not set. Let it continue over time for 24 hours. Such was the power of Hiranyakashipu. And this went on and went on for so many years. The demigods were tormented and oppressed. They were punished, they were beaten, they were chastised. And the demigods didn't have any power to do anything. Finally, all the demigods, they started having underground meetings. Said something should be done about this. And they started performing meditation to please Lord Krishna. That the only way is to approach Vishnu. This is how we should understand that in our life, we have problems or troubles from so many other sources, we should take shelter of Lord Krishna. He is the one who can actually solve our problems in such a way that solution is favorable to our spiritual life. All other sources of solutions, they may solve, but the solution, if it ends up not being favorable to our spiritual life, then we'll add one more problem to our life. So we should always take shelter of Lord Krishna. What he does is best. Best for us, best for the world. So having that faith, we should always approach him. It may delay, our pain may continue, it may increase, that's okay. He will also provide tolerance and strength to go ahead. So the demigods, they approach Vishnu. So finally, Lord Vishnu spoke to them. He didn't appear, but they heard the transcendental sound vibration. In which Lord Vishnu said that, my dear devotees, you please continue doing your chanting and hearing, and I know everything about Hiranyakashipu, and soon I am going to come and kill him. That would be the time when he will disturb my very dear devotee Prahlad, his own son. That time I will come and kill. Hearing this, the demigods were very satisfied. They consider practically he is dead. Because there is very less time now. Vishnu has already assured us, and Lord's assurance is 100%. So they were very happy. So meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu had four sons, the eldest being Prahlad, a 5-year-old boy. But even though born in an Asura family, the family of demons, Prahlad was not an ordinary child. He had all the good qualities of the demigods. He had all the good qualities of a Vaishnava. Nay, he had all the good qualities of Krishna himself. The small boy Prahlad, he was so much absorbed in thinking of Vishnu, thinking of Krishna, that he never knew how his bodily activities are taking place. He never knew how his eating, sleeping, going to bathroom, lying down, drinking is happening. He was completely oblivious to all this. And all the time he was absorbed in remembering about Krishna. Sometimes he used to laugh uncontrollably, out of ecstasy. Sometimes he used to have tears in his eyes. Sometimes he used to feel the sweetness of meeting Krishna. Sometimes he had pain of separation. And this was all day happening. Everybody was very happy with small Prahlad. He had all the qualities of humility, honesty, truthfulness, peacefulness, cleanliness, self-control, austere, compassion, intelligent, wise, equipoise in honor and dishonor. So at that time, Hiranyakashipu had sent Prahlad to Gurukul. His teachers were Sandra and Amarka, who were the sons of the spiritual master of demons, Shukracharya. And Sandra and Amarka, they used to teach the sons of Asuras of how to rule the world or rule the people under them with politics and diplomacy. All this Prahlad never liked, but still he was a very sincere student, submissively hearing his teachers and participating in classroom activities. So one day, from Gurukul, when Prahlad went home, Hiranyakashipu was so happy seeing his small son. He immediately took Prahlad on his lap, kissed his forehead, smelled his forehead, and Hiranyakashipu was having moist eyes. He was having so much love for Prahlad. And he asked a very simple question to Prahlad. He said, "My dear Prahlad, tell me, what is the best thing you have learned from your teachers?" Now this is a very simple question. He didn't ask any particular question so that Prahlad had to think and answer. Whatever you think is best or whatever you remember, just tell me what is the best thing you learned from your teachers. And Sri Prahlad replied that the best thing is that one should leave this material world, this andhakupam, and engage in devotional service of Lord Vishnu. That is the only thing one should do in human form of life, and that is highly beneficial. And Hiranyakashipu got so angry, he started laughing. He said, "Such the child's intelligence is spoiled by Vaishnavas, by enemy camp. Somebody has spoiled this child." Like if some boys, they come to ISKCON and they practice Krishna consciousness, especially in hostels, and at the end of semester they go back home telling mother, "I'll not eat onion garlic, waking me up at 4 o'clock, I'll not go to cinemas, I'll not go to relatives' house." They say, "Somebody has spoiled this child. Bigad gaya." So Hiranyakashipu said, "Somebody has spoiled this child." So he called Sandhya and Amarka. He said, "What is happening in your Gurukul? This child is spoiled. There are some Vaishnavas coming in disguise and doing preaching, college preaching. So you should be careful. You should not allow anybody in pant shirt there." So Sandhya and Amarka said, "Yes, yes, Maharaj." They used to address Hiranyakashipu as Bhagwan. Said, "Yes, yes, my Lord, we will take care." So they took Prahlad in their Gurukul, and there they started threatening Prahlad. He said, "Who taught you all this? Tell me the name of that person who taught you this. He is our enemy. Enemies are coming and meeting you." Prahlad said, "What is this enemy and what is this friend? Nobody is friend and nobody is enemy. Everybody is same and nobody taught me." He said, "My consciousness is getting attracted to Lord Vishnu as naturally and spontaneously as a magnet gets attracted to iron, as water flows from higher level to lower level. And it is very good. You people should also do that. Practice devotional service." So Sandhya Amarka got very angry. They started threatening him with a stick that, "We will beat you up. You should study your classes nicely." And again for lots of months, they started teaching Prahlad, teaching all the things which asuras are supposed to know. And at the end, Prahlad was so sincere in his school that they thought that now Prahlad has understood. Now Prahlad has changed. Now he has improved. So they again took Prahlad to the house. There, after being washed and dressed very nicely by his mother, Kayadhu, Prahlad approached Hiranyakashipu and offered his obeisances. Hiranyakashipu was so happy. He immediately took the boy on his lap, smelled his head, kissed his cheeks, fondled him, and he said, "Prahlad, just tell me what is the best thing you learned from your teachers." And Prahlad says, "Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And any one process you follow, you will get liberation. You will get eternal loving service at the lotus feet of Krishna." Hiranyakashipu was so angry and wild, he threw Prahlad from his lap. And he called Sandhya and Amarka. He said, "You fools, I pay you salary and you work for Vishnu? You never tell the name Vishnu. You work for the enemy camp? Double agents? I give you salary to teach Prahlad, my sons, and you work for enemy camp?" He chastised Sandhya and Amarka like anything. Then Sandhya told to Hiranyakashipu, "We didn't teach him all this. And nobody taught him all this. Your Prahlad is having automatic attraction towards the enemies. And we tried a lot. We threatened him. We spent so much time with him. We tried to teach him so many Asuric philosophies. But in the class he hears everything very submissively. And in front of him he speaks all this." So Hiranyakashipu was very angry. He said, "This boy is completely spoiled. And one spoiled boy is sufficient to disturb the whole dynasty." Hiranyakashipu compared Prahlad Maharaj as a thorn tree and all the asuras as sandalwood trees. And he said, "This one thorn tree is sufficient to cut all the sandalwood trees. Because if somebody has to cut a sandalwood tree, he requires an axe. And the thorn tree is best suited to make the handle for the axe." So he said, "This fellow will kill the whole dynasty. So better is to kill him." We see Hiranyakashipu, even though he was such an affectionate father, but he was ready to kill his own son Prahlad. Out of fear of his own life. So Hiranyakashipu called his soldiers. He said, "You take Prahlad and kill him." And all the demonic soldiers who were so ugly in their faces and who were so much shouting, howling, they took the tridents, swords, clubs, spears and attempted to beat Prahlad, to kill Prahlad. But they found that their weapons had no effect on Prahlad. And with that, this was told to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu said, "Okay, try some other ways." Gave him poison, but no effect of poison. Trample him under huge elephants, but that didn't work. Throw him in ocean or throw him from cliff, that didn't work. They made a pit and threw stones, big stones in that pit. But nothing happened to Prahlad. This made him starve, drink no water, made him go into a place infested with poisonous snakes, did some conjuring tricks, tried to burn him. But all these attempts of Hiranyakashipu failed. Multiple times Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. In fact, I guess Hiranyakashipu tried so many times that he must have become expert in attempts to kill. He can write a book, 1008 Ways to Kill Somebody. And in bracket, be unsuccessful. So many ways he killed. But Prahlad Maharaj cannot write a book to save. He can just write one small mantra. How to save oneself? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. In other words, the protection mantra is same. The protection for so many troubles or evil things is same. Even if the problems and troubles in our life come in different, different shapes, sizes and varieties. But our protection is same that we go to Krishna. Not that problem 1, go to DT1, problem 2, go to DT2. No, our solution, our shelter is only Lord Krishna. Krishna and only Krishna. Nobody else. So Prahlad didn't, in fact Prahlad didn't try to protect himself. He just continued his remembrance of Krishna. That if Krishna wants, I will be protected. If Krishna wants, I will be killed. No difference. So he didn't try to, he was not very anxious of his protection. He was just absorbed in remembering Krishna. In meditating on Lord Krishna, in chanting his holy name. And finally, when all the attempts of Hiranyakashipu were unsuccessful, Hiranyakashipu was very morose and afraid. He said, such a small boy I am not able to kill. So seeing him in such bad shape, Sandra and Amarka approached Hiranyakashipu. And said, my dear Hiranyakashipu, why you have to be morose? The whole world is trembling by your eyebrows, by the movement of your eyebrows. This is just a small boy. And he doesn't know anything. He is spoiled now. But once he grows up, he will be a good asura. He will follow you. And our spiritual master Shukracharya is going to come back. So once Prahlad gets an opportunity to personally serve Shukracharya, his consciousness will be okay. He will become very favorable. So you just send him to Gurukul again. So Hiranyakashipu said, okay, please take him and make sure that he serves our spiritual master and becomes a good asura. Now he is a spoiled asura. So again Sandhya and Amarka took him. Again they started explaining him very nicely how to eat meat, how to perform sinful activities, how to rape, how to murder, how to create dissension in the enemy, and all this political diplomacy. Meanwhile in the school, when Sandhya and Amarka were out for lunch, in the recess time, all the other sons of various demonic leaders, they used to play. And Prahlad used to be aloof. He were not joining in their childhood plays. So they used to invite Prahlad. My dear Prahlad, why don't you come and play with us? There are so many toys, there are so many games. So you please come and play. And Prahlad would tell them, don't spoil your human form of life. Don't waste your time. Instead of playing, you should all serve Vishnu. This human form of life is very rarely obtained. Out of 84 lakh species of life and the cycle of birth and death in all these species, we are very fortunate that we have received this human form of life. And in this human form of life, our sole ultimate purpose is to serve Krishna. We being eternal part and parcel of Lord Krishna, our constitutional position is to serve Him. So in this human form of life, we should get this education and serve Krishna. In this way, Prahlad spoke so nicely about transcendental knowledge, about the relationship between Jiva and Krishna, about the process of bhakti, that all the children got attracted. Then once the child asked question, that my dear Prahlad, from where did you get this knowledge? You are staying in the palace and you are in the Gurukul. You hardly meet anybody. You just study the same books which we study. In fact, in the palace there is more restriction. You don't go out. So from where did you get this knowledge? So Prahlad narrated how he got knowledge from his spiritual master Narad Muni. Prahlad said that when my father Hiranyakashipu had gone for performing austerities, at that time all the demigods headed by Indra, they attacked us. And they were so powerful. And in the absence of my father, all the demons, they got defeated. And they left their house, their wife, their children, their palace, their belongings and ran away. So at that time my mother was pregnant. I was in the womb of my mother. And Indra captured my mother, the queen, Hiranyakashipu's queen, Kayadu. And he captured my mother and took her away, kidnapped her. My mother was crying that leave me, I have nothing to do with all this. I am pregnant with my child. But Indra, he didn't listen. So at that time Sri Narad Muni, he appeared on the scene. And he told Indra that leave this girl, leave this woman. Indra said, no, no. She is queen of Hiranyakashipu. And in her womb there is one more demon in the seed form. And as soon as he takes birth, I am going to kill him. Otherwise we will have problem in the next generation also. So he was afraid that the son of the demon would be a greater demon and he would oppress the demigods. So mind well, Indra didn't kill Kayadu or Indra didn't kill the child. He was waiting for the child to take birth. So this killing of woman or abortion, these are very sinful activities. Indra didn't perform it even on the enemy's wife. But nowadays, forget Indra not killing enemy's child, people kill their child. They abort the child. That is such a heinous activity. So Narada told Indra that no, no, you are wrong. The child in the womb of Kayadu is not a great demon, but he is going to be a very great devotee of Krishna. And nobody can kill him, not even you. Predicting that Hiranyakashipu also cannot kill him. Nobody can kill him. It will be impossible to kill him. So immediately Indra left Kayadu by understanding and having faith on the words of Narada Muni. In fact, all the demigods offered obeisances to the womb of Kayadu, circumambulated the womb and left her there. So Narada Muni took Kayadu to his ashram and he told Kayadu, Mataji, you stay here, no problems, you will be very well protected and comfortable. And when your husband comes back, then you can go back to the palace. So Kayadu used to stay in the ashram of Narada Muni, do some service there. And Narada Muni, being very compassionate, used to recite Bhagavatam to Kayadu and Prahlad in the womb of Kayadu. And by the blessings of Narada Muni, inside the womb, Prahlad not only used to hear that knowledge, but he became a self-realized devotee. And when Kayadu gave birth to Prahlad, he was already a devotee. So that is how, by the great blessings of Narada Muni, not only Prahlad was saved from the wrath of Indra, but he was actually saved from the material existence. Prahlad received spiritual knowledge even before taking birth. So this is a good lesson that it is very important that spiritual education is given to the jivas, to the people in their childhood. In fact, when they are in the womb. So pregnant ladies or small children, they should be encouraged to attend Srimad Bhagavatam classes, even if those children don't understand it. Because the transcendental sound vibration of Harinam and Srimad Bhagavatam would enter their ears and purify their consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj narrated how he received this knowledge from Narada Muni. And in this way, his powerful preaching, all the classmates of Prahlad Maharaj, they started chanting the holy names of Krishna. They became devotees. And when Sandhya and Amarka saw this, they said, my God, what just happened? Earlier there was one problem, now everybody is becoming a devotee. They themselves took Prahlad and went and complained to Hiranyakashipu that your son is spoiling the ashram. Our Gurukul, your son has spoiled. These children are no longer eating meat, no longer interested in all the sinful activities. So Hiranyakashipu was so angry. He said, Prahlad, from where are you getting this strength? You are Kalka Bachcha, but you are not afraid of me. The whole world, all the demigods, all the various rulers of the planets, they are afraid of me and you are not afraid of me. From where are you getting this strength? And Prahlad said that my strength comes from the same place from where your strength comes. In fact, we both have strength from the same source. And it is best that you use your strength and submit yourself to Lord Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu got very white. He was very angry. And then Prahlad said that he told to Hiranyakashipu, he called Hiranyakashipu as king of demons. He said, my dear king of demons, if somebody has uncontrolled anger, uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses, then he cannot achieve success in spiritual life. So he started explaining about sense control. Hiranyakashipu got more angry. He said, you rascal, you think you are better in better than me in controlling the senses. Today I will show you what is my strength. And he took his sword. And he challenged Prahlad. He said, every time you talk about somebody superior to me, I'll try to kill you today. Let me see who saves you. Let me see where is he. And Prahlad explained that he is everywhere. He is everywhere. Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad by asking that, is he in that pillar which is just front of Hiranyakashipu? And Prahlad said yes. And in the mood of anger, Hiranyakashipu punched that pillar with his fist. And not only that pillar broke, simultaneously there was a very huge sound. Nobody has heard such a sound. Many soldiers in that palace got heart attack just by hearing that sound. And Hiranyakashipu was wondrous. He said, what kind of sound is coming from this pillar? And then the beautiful and ferocious form of Lord Narsingadev appeared from that pillar, with half man, half lion form, with a very beautiful mane, golden color body, very red, angry eyes, so many hands with big, big nails and various weapons. It was so dangerous to look at. So when Hiranyakashipu saw this, he said, oh, who is this? I have never seen this half man, half lion. And Hiranyakashipu actually got fear in his heart. He thought, my death is near. But then he said, nobody can kill me. Thinking like this, he took his sword and shield and attacked Narsingadev. Lord Narsingadev, who appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj and kill Hiranyakashipu, he actually played a big game with Hiranyakashipu. He didn't kill him immediately. He was capturing him, then leaving him, then again capturing him. In fact, it is said that Narsingadev was waiting for dusk. He wanted to kill Hiranyakashipu at that time. So finally, when the right moment arrived, Lord Narsingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, went on the doorway, put Hiranyakashipu on his lap and teared open his belly. He took his heart and bounced it like a ball. He took his intestines, wrapped it around his neck as a garland, and all his hands and his mane and his mouth was covered with blood. And in this way he killed Hiranyakashipu. We should recall that Lord Brahma had given some benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. Lord Narsingadev was not under those benedictions. But still Lord Narsingadev followed those benedictions by coming in a form which is neither human nor animal, by killing him on his lap, which is not up nor down, by killing him at the doorway of his residence, which is not inside not outside, by killing him in the dusk, which is not day not night, by killing him with nails, which are not considered weapons. So in this way, Lord Narsingadev not only killed Hiranyakashipu, but he protected the words of Lord Brahma. So we see all the devotees involved in these pastimes, they received the mercy of Lord Narsingadev. Prahlad Maharaj told that Narsingadev is in the pillar. And to protect the words of Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingadev appeared in the pillar. Otherwise Narsingadev had no need to come in the pillar. In fact, Narsingadev can kill Hiranyakashipu right in his heart. Narsingadev is sitting in Hiranyakashipu's heart as Paramatma. From there only, if he does something, and he will get heart attack and got killed. But just to fulfill the words of Prahlad, who so told that the Lord is in the pillar, Narsingadev appeared from the pillar. Just to fulfill the words of Brahma, Narsingadev appeared in this form. Just to fulfill the words of Narad Muni, Narsingadev protected Prahlad. Just to take care of the demigods, Narsingadev came and killed Hiranyakashipu. And in fact, by killing Hiranyakashipu, he gave mercy to Hiranyakashipu. So after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he threw the body and he still was very angry. Many soldiers of Hiranyakashipu attacked Narsingadev. But by so many of his hands, Narsingadev killed all the soldiers by his nails. That all the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Agni, Vayu, Varun, the sages, they all came down. They all were very happy and they offered very beautiful prayers to Lord Narsingadev. So finally, after all the offerings of prayers were done, Lord Brahma saw that Narsingadev is still very angry. So Lord Brahma was afraid to go in front of Narsingadev. So he called Lakshmi Mata. He said, look, your husband is very angry. you go and pacify him. Lakshmi said, no, no, I have not seen him like this any time. I cannot go in front. So nobody was ready to approach Narasingadev. Lord Brahma called little Prahlad. Sir Prahlad, look, Narasingadev is angry because of your father. So you only go and pacify Narasingadev. And Prahlad was unafraid. He was not having any fear of Narasingadev. Immediately, that little boy, he approached Narasingadev and paid obeisances. When Narasingadev saw Prahlad Maharaj, immediately there was so much affection that he touched his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj with very love. And it is said that that touch of Narasingadev purified completely Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is already pure devotee, but his association with Asuras, practically demonic blood was flowing in his body. So that association was considered a material contamination. And by the touch of Narasingadev, even that contamination was purified. And then, being touched by the auspicious hands of Narasingadev, Prahlad received, was revealed highest transcendental knowledge. And he offered very beautiful prayers to Narasingadev. It is said that this Bhagavatam prayers, this Prahlad Maharaj prayers are so nice that one can develop ecstatic love for Krishna just by reading those prayers. So when Narasingadev was completely pacified, he told Prahlad, said, my dear Prahlad, you asked me for some benediction because it is my nature that I give benedictions to my devotees. Prahlad, being the highest devotee of the Lord, he said, my dear Lord, you are my master and I am your servant. I am not doing any business with you, that I serve you, then you give me some salary or some benediction. I don't want anything from you. In fact, my dear Lord, I request you not to tempt me with all this. There is already so much illusion, so much entanglement. I don't want any opulence. I don't want any temptations. Narasingadev insisted to Prahlad that you please ask some benediction. Or mera naam kharab ho jayega. People will say, I didn't give anything to you. So you please ask some benediction. Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear Lord, if you want to give me anything, then you please forgive my father Hiranyakashipu and give him liberation. So we see Hiranyakashipu was so much envious of Prahlad that he again and again wanted to kill Prahlad. But still Prahlad was thinking of the well-wisher, thinking of welfare of Hiranyakashipu. That is the nature of a devotee like Prahlad, who is not having any envy in his heart. So Narasingadev said, that is already done. Not only Hiranyakashipu, 21 generations of yours is already being liberated just because you appeared in that house. So that is a benediction of the Lord to that family where somebody becomes a brahmachari or where somebody becomes a great devotee. So a son in the family may provide some material welfare, monetary welfare, emotional support to the family. But if he becomes a devotee, he becomes a pure Vaishnava, then not only all this material welfare, but he can provide spiritual upliftment to the family and the previous family, previous births. So that benediction is not available for any material actions. So one should encourage boys to become devotees so that their families are benefited. So Narasingadev said that that is already done. You ask for something else. Then Prahlad asked that, my dear Lord, please bless me so that I serve my Guru Sri Narad Muni. Because of his mercy and blessings, today I am able to have your darshan. He has very rightly said that without the mercy of spiritual master, one cannot have darshan of Krishna. Even if Krishna comes in front of us, without the knowledge given by our spiritual master, we can identify him that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he very rightly said that, give me service at the feet of Narada. So finally Narasingadev blessed Prahlad Maharaj with a very long life full of opulences as well as full remembrance of Lord Krishna. And he told Prahlad that now you become the king and you rule the world instead of father. Before that you should perform final rites. And in this way Narasingadev was about to disappear. Then Brahmaji approached Narasingadev. And on behalf of all the demigods, he thanked Narasingadev. pray to Lord Narasimhadev that Hiranyakashipu was a big problem in the society. And thank you, my Lord, that you came and solved this. Narasimhadev, in fact, very mildly rebuked Brahmaji. He said, my dear Brahmaji, don't give all these benedictions to these demons. You people keep giving benedictions and I have to come and incarnate. So you should be careful in future giving these benedictions to demons. Because they will always misuse. And in this way, Narasimhadev disappeared. So hearing this, we understand that Lord Krishna is always protecting his devotees and giving mercy. And in fact, we should on this day pray to Lord Narasimhadev to remove all the incarnations of Hiranyakashipus in our heart, especially the pride and envy for Vaishnavas, and pray to him that he removes all the obstacles which we encounter on the power path of spiritual advancement. Narasimhadev protects his devotees means he protects the devotional service of his devotees. It may not necessarily mean the body, though he does that also. So we should pray to him that just as he has killed Hiranyakashipu, so he removes the obstacles on the path of our devotional service, so that in the absence of obstacles, we can very smoothly progress, very rapidly progress in spiritual life. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagwan ki, Srila Prahlad Maharaj ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupad ki. I'm sorry it took over time. Is there any questions we can discuss? We'll have one question.
Prabhu Hare Krishna. Shukracharya is the spiritual master of demons.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. So, is Shukracharya is also demonic, demons?
No, he is from Brahmana community.
See, spiritual master means his business is to deliver the disciples and help them to go back to Godhead, correct? Then what was his role so far as demons are concerned?
See, he was just a, can say priest, he was doing priestly duty. Not a guru, just like we have in Vaishnava Sampradaya. So earlier, all the royal families, they used to have a priest who would help them both spiritually as well as religiously. So demons also used to follow religious ceremonies, performing yajna so that they receive powers. So Shukracharya was doing that. So it was more religious, not spiritual. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.